Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the
God. Welcome to Blog Talk, amen. Tonight, amen. Welcome to Eagles of Fight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we thank God for you all tonight. Thank God for Prophet Selena Dupree and each and every one that's on the line. God bless you all as we are coming together to hear the Word of God. Amen. And we want to thank you all for just taking time out of your schedule and being here. And as we get ready to go to the Word tonight, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. And we're going to get ready to get into this Word as we go forth. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence tonight. Lord God, we bless your name, Lord God. We thank you right now for your intimacy, your place of this place of worship that we're in tonight, Lord God, this atmosphere. We thank you for this charge with your anointing tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment that we have to be with you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your anointing, Lord God, you cover us from the top of our heads to our feet. And we thank you, Lord God, for this place of intimacy, this time, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, as you pour into us. We thank you, Lord God, for the filling of our spirit with your word, even in your presence, Lord God. Let your anointing rest upon us right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your anointing that destroys every yoke in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to share and to receive your word tonight. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We thank you, Lord God, for this time as you're building us up for such time as this. We thank you that we are your representatives, kingdom ambassadors, Lord God. Thank you as we represent you in heaven and earth. We thank you, Lord God, for this change. Let the manifestation of your presence fall fresh upon us now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as we enter into that place, Lord God, as we allow you to have free course, minister to our hearts tonight, Lord God, as you pour out into us, you pour into us, Lord God. Thank you for the spirit of for your spirit even moving forward in us, with us, in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for the progression in the spirit tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. We bind the works of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, hands, feet, and mouth. Satan, we bind you, we see the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the word of God. The word of God shall go forth, will go forth in Jesus' name tonight. And we thank you for the hearts and the minds to be prepared to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church with impartation and the manifestation of his presence right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Fall afresh upon us, with us in Jesus' name, Lord God, as we stand ready tonight, as we stand hungry for your presence, oh God, feed us. Tell me no more. Refresh us in your presence, Lord God. Let your anointing come, Lord God. Let even your spirit then bring forth liberty. We thank you for the spirit. The spirit of the Lord is there's liberty tonight. And we thank you for this divine moment, this divine time, this divine season that we're in right now. We embrace this moment. We thank you as we allow your season to go forth, Lord God. Thank you as you allow this season to go forth with us, in us, and through us, oh God. We thank you for the manifestation to change right now in Jesus' name. Do a mighty work, oh God. Thank you as you outpour your spirit tonight, Lord. Thank you for change happening, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the change happening first in the spirit and that you're manifest in the natural, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Robo shenereyama ba shanda yo sotori aman shanda. We drive back the enemy tonight in the name of Jesus, God. Every attempt of the enemy is trying to stop this word from going forth, every attempt from stopping the enemy from getting on the line, in Jesus' name, we break loose right now. We break out in the name of Jesus, God. We call into flourishing, Lord God, what the Lord has already ordained to be tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for the manifestation to change, oh God. We thank you for hearts to be open to receive. Thank you for the atmosphere, for the yoke-destroying power, to be released, oh God, will cause breakthrough to happen tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we'll break every shackle, fetter, chain, the causes to break loose and set free the hearts and the minds of those people who desire to serve the Lord with the fullness of their hearts. And we thank you, Lord God, tonight for the change, for the opportunity, Lord God, the resetting, the realigning, Lord God, that's taking place as we speak right now. Thank you for bringing us back into that place where we once knew you, Lord God. Thank you for renewing our faith, renewing our strength in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you right now. We give you the floor. We give you opportunity. We give you our hearts and our minds. In our spirit, Holy Spirit, we thank you, and you're welcome in this place tonight. Do what you desire to do, Lord God. Jesus, I decrease that you increase now. Increase that I decrease in the name of Jesus. Lord God, increase that I decrease in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for you doing what you desire to do tonight. Minister to your, to each and every one of us. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying, that we should go forth in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Lord God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the impact tonight that you're doing in our lives, that you use us, and that we should be meet prepared for the master's use. Lord, we desire tonight that your will to be done, not our will, not your permissive will, but let your perfect will be done in our lives now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you all the praise, give you all the honor and glory. As far as in your son, Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. All right. Amen. Started with some good warfare earlier tonight. Amen. We're trying to, the enemy is trying to block us from getting on and having a good old time, trying to throw this, this flag up here, this thing, that thing, and trying to stop. But no matter what, God's word shall prevail, and it has prevailed tonight. So we thank God for his word, for this time and space for gathering tonight. We welcome you to the Eagles of Flight Hour. Once again, I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we're going to get ready to go forward into the word of God, and we're going to ask you to come with us tonight. We're going to go to a few familiar places. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Psalm 23. And I'm going to look at Psalm 91. Couple of familiar places. And we will start there. Praise God. Psalm 23, Psalm 91. Our two focus areas tonight. Very familiar, but profound for where we're going. And Psalm 23. And we start there. Okay. With me one second. Okay, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that raves at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made that has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy, show him my salvation. Glory to God. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you from the subject of the purpose of intimacy. The purpose of intimacy. The purpose of intimacy. We can kind of understand why the enemy would try to put up such a fight tonight. Because there's something special about this thing called intimacy. The word intimacy. Before we get to intimacy, let's talk about it. Well, let me say this. Intimacy is the state of being intimate, familiarity, something of a private or personal nature. Okay. Now, that leads us to the word intimate. to be in the process of something, being intimate, being intimate leads us to intimacy. So we need to back up and look at what is intimate. Intimate means having a very close relationship, very warm and friendly, very personal or private. Involved sexually or with sexual relations, okay? That's the natural. Intrinsic, essential, belonging to, or characterizing one's deepest nature. Marked by a very close association, contact, familiarity. Marked by a warm friendship developing through long association. Intimate friends, suggesting informal warmth or privacy. Okay, a very personal or private nature, and I usually don't do this here, but synonyms. Let me say this. Synonyms for intimate is bosom. It's a like chest, a woman, a child, mother, a child on a mother's chest, bosom, buddy, buddy, close, chummy, close, especially, friendly, inseparable, familiar, inward, near, thick, tight. Okay. Antonyms for that is distant. So clearly we see night and day what the word intimate means. Very close, very personal, it's very private. So when we talk about the purpose of intimacy, it's talking about the purpose of being close with God. Why do we need to, and how does it benefit us to be close with God? That's the question that comes up because, you know, we all can, you know, just get saved, and we all have, you know, we all in position for a relationship. See, notice I said we all can get saved and be in position for a relationship. Because just because you get saved doesn't necessarily mean that you have a real relationship with God. You may have gone through the motions until you got introduced to Him, to salvation. But you can go no further if you don't want to. And only do you have is an introduction experience to the Lord. And not really having a growing relationship where there's true intimacy with Him. See, that's why a lot of people still can carry on, do the same thing they've been doing before they got saved, after they get saved. After their formal introduction, some people never change. Some people still drink, cuss, smoke, you know, do the old thing. And because, you know, you ask them. I remember one time it was I was at a church. After I got saved. And this gentleman who lived up the street, he was a truck driver. He came to church that day, and he was, you know, the Lord dealt with his heart, and he wasn't a church goer. But the Lord dealt with his heart that day. He was in service, and he went to the front, and he cried out to the Lord. He actually had a breakthrough. God was dealing with his heart and everything, and he opened up. I think he then received the Lord that day, and, you know, afterwards, later on, I asked him, I said, hey, man, so how do you feel after, you know, shortly after everything you saw, you would sort of thought that he had slumped out the time to where, by God, the presence of God came and changed the thing. He said, I really don't feel a difference. He said he didn't really feel a difference. I'm thinking to myself, wow, I mean, after all that happened up there? So just because he was introduced doesn't mean he had a full relationship experience. He had a nice introduction, but in his heart, that's as far as it went because he didn't progress any further after that. He just kind of, you know, had the experience and that was it. So really, when it comes down to it, our experience or our relationship with God, where we go in our level of intimacy is really up to us. How bad do you want Him? How deep are you willing to go? How deep is the rabbit hole where He goes? See, if we're not hungry to know Him, then we won't pursue Him. When we pursue Him, He will allow us to know Him. But there has to be some interest. See, everyone won't have that access unless you remember, the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Knock, it shall be opened. Seek, you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Notice this. With all three of those opportunities, you have to do something. You have to knock in order for the door to be opened. You have to seek so you can be found. You have to ask so you can receive. If anyone desires to call in, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Any questions, comments, or any kind of remarks, amen, press 1, amen, and we'll put you on. So when we look at that, in this walk, we have to do something. If we want to experience more of God, if we want to experience Him and especially go to a place of Him that we've never gone before, we have to put our foot forward and go in. We have to pursue Him. He said, the scripture says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. See, you got to want to draw nigh in order for Him to respond to your drawing. If we don't draw to Him, He won't draw to us. Now, even though He would deal with our hearts, He said He's at the door knocking, but He said the scripture says, "Behold, He's at the door knocking at our heart, door of our heart." Well, that wasn't to non-believers. That part was speaking to believers. That's the part for those who are going cold in your relationship and kind of got in the way. He deals your heart. Why? Because He's knocking, because He cares. He wants you to reestablish what we once had again. That wasn't to a sinner. That was to the saints in the book of Revelation. So if this is how passionate he feels about us, to where he could see this. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on any one of us. When we want God, we seek God. And when we seek him, we'll find. We knock, he will open. We ask, he shall receive. So we have to put forth effort in showing God that we want him. When we show interest, well, think for young men, think for the guys, if, you know, guys the same way. There's a young lady we see, we show interest, and then goes the chase. You show interest, put a little wink over here, wink there, and she responds to that. But most women, you won't say anything to them, they won't say anything to you. They can be feeling the same way you feel, but the fact of the matter, do you want it? They're waiting on you to respond. And I noticed from experience, I've even had experience of talking to a few people after high school days that, you know, you had a little feeling, you kind of liked them or whatever. But, you know, I remember one person, particular person that I was interested in. I was, you know, she was like, you know, she moved down from New York and she was living in our community. And, you know, I befriended her and everything. It was cool and everything. But for some reason, I never tried going any further. Even though she was cute and very nice and everything, but I just never did pursue her any further. I just did. But even though I was interested, but I did. Okay? So what happened was, you know, she started talking to a friend of mine who I know, a guy who I know, and they stayed together for most of the time through high school for the last few years or so, too. And so long story short, they went on after school, they went their separate ways, or things they broke up after that or something. Well, what happened was they were still talking. And we were talking one day, and somehow the subject came up about that. And I said, yeah, you know, I used to like you. And she was like, what? I said, yeah, I used to like you, you know. And she said, and you know what? She said, I used to like you too, but you never showed any interest in me. She said, I never showed any interest in her. In other words, I didn't put anything out there to let her know that I loved her. So the same way, in a sense, with God, to where, you know, and the thing is, God would call love to things that happen in our life to where there is an open opportunity to know him, and he would deal with our hearts as far as drawing us in the sense of, you know, but until we really make that forward action to really open up, sometimes we won't have that experience. But when here it is, so when we show, and even, and so when we're talking about that formal introduction to women, as far as when we get saved, okay, now we've been introduced. Now there's a closer place that we need to go. This place is by invitation only. This place is to where, when you talk about true intimacy with God, it takes you showing interest in him for him to draw near to you. The salvation experience, he's dealing with your heart, he's calling you, dealing with, you know, his hand is on you, dealing with you, calling, okay, get you, so you accept him, now you have your introduction with him. But now to go further, to pursue deeper in God, it's going to take an invitation. And the invitation is not exactly him to you because you've been positioned. You accepted the first invitation of salvation. Now this place, to go deeper, is the invitation that you need to give to him. When you give him the invitation, he responds back. Now that you show more interest in him, he responds back. So now you desire him to know him more. You ask, shall be given. Seek, shall find. Knock, shall be opened. So now you have, you're in a position to have a more intimate relationship with the Lord. It's not just knowing of Him. It's to really to know Him. Okay, now that that's been set up, let's get into this a little bit. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Here we see, it's a very familiar passage of scripture. We all, a lot of us know, a lot of us can quote Psalm 23 and saw away to sleep, y'all sleep. But let's look at it from a different place. Let's look at it from a place of intimacy with the Lord. A place where it takes you inviting Him more deeper into your life. Really allowing Him to allow him to share Himself so you can know Him. Because, see, He already knows you. But now it's time that you learn and know Him. Because if you show an interest in knowing, once again, back to that relationship thing, you know, because I did not show interest, I've already had my introduction to her. I kind of know of her. I knew of her, seen her at first initial conversation. So now to go deeper than that, I need to give her an invitation so she can allow me to come in, to open up, to get to know her heart and see. So here it is. We have this opportunity to know Him deeper than just the surface. Sometimes we because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, we just get caught up with the Lord just in the introduction. We had a nice introduction, a nice introduction experience. We're good right there. I'm cool. But to really, you know, we say, well, I know God. I'll say, I give my life to Him. But then did you go further than that? Because going deeper, going further is more than the introduction experience. It's a deeper place to where you know Him. Okay, for example, Adam, let's go. Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Whole Psalm 23, we come right back to that. Let's go to Genesis 4 right quick. Read a few verses right here. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now, listen, we can play around this thing, but Adam knowing his wife Eve is not her him close to, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, that's my wife. That wasn't what he was talking about. When you see that word known, in the Bible, that word is intimacy. There's something intimate about this relationship, or something with this. It is a closeness when you know a woman. In this case, it was something about Adam knowing Eve. Now look and see, okay, this lets you know. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived. Listen. Without knowing, there can be no conception. There's no conception without knowing. In other words, without coming together, without a closeness, a private, intimate encounter, or encounterings that take place, there's no knowing there. There's no conception. You can't produce nothing without knowing God. Okay, I'm going to just do that one verse right there. And, okay, she conceived and bare Cain. A child came forth. Listen, and I know that there are people who donate, you know, sperm and all that stuff, and they implant a child in someone and everything, okay, but, or if she inseminated. But here, that's not what it's talking about. And he said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. His intimacy with Eve, because he knew her more than the surface. It was more than just looking at her from the outside. He actually had an encounter with her when he inside. So because of the inside and because of that encounter, it produced a child. So So what does your walk with God produce when you have a relationship, intimacy? It produces a closeness. It causes fruit to come forth. Fruit of God's presence in your life. So this is why we need intimacy. When we have true intimacy with the Lord, it produces fruit in our lives. It produces real fruit because it's not just a distance experience or just saying, okay, that one introduction experience. No, it's a continual knowing that after a while, well, think about it. Think about it, a husband and wife. If their husband and wife is intimate long enough, they're going to produce a child. Child, children, whichever way you want to put it. You're going to produce. And let me say this. And why? Okay, think about it. Okay, I'm going to take you off from your back. So hold with me. Stay safe. Now hold it. Why do you know that song? Break up to make up is all we do. Think about it. What's the most favorite part of a person breaking up to making up? Don't everybody answer that at one time. Y'all know the intimacy. That's what they did because they had a time going through the challenge of being in the fight, but now they're coming back together. The husband and wife coming back together to work on things. That's why part of the reconciliation of any fight, argument, or time with a husband and wife is that time of intimacy. Because that intimacy brings them back together. It bonds, it strengthens the bond. It brings them back together again. So even with you and the Lord, there's some things that happen. Things kind of rock you. Things got you upset. You got to fall, kind of got knocked off the horse. Well, now you need to get back to that place of intimacy with the Lord again. So he can bring you back into that right place and strengthen you in where you have to go. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 23. Hold that thought right there. Psalm 23, coming up. Okay, Psalm 23, verse 1. Now, this is coming from a place of intimacy now, so standing in the mindset of intimacy. It's Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, come on. That word my is very personal. That's a personal thing. When you see that word my, that's not talking about something that's far off. That's not talking about it. That's not talking about, this casual relationship. That's very personal when you hear the word my is involved. Let me look that up right quick, amen, because that word my has a deeper connection. It's a connection. My is relating to or belonging to. See, relating to, talking about, relating to my or belonging to me. Relating to me or belonging to me. Somehow is a connection to me. See, so he said the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. It's personal to me. Made or done by me. It used to express affection for someone you are talking about. You are talking to, excuse me. To especially someone you're talking to. See, the Lord, he's telling us here, the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on to say, used by itself in the phrases to express surprise, excitement, to fear, or possession, action, object of an action, or familiar person. So here we see, we're talking about the Lord. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's very personal about that. Okay, he goes on to say, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he is my guide, he is my protector, he is my protection. I mean, he's my guide, my protector, and my provider, excuse me. Three things that a shepherd does: guides, provides, protects. God provides and protects. God provide, protect. God provide, protect. So he is the shepherd in this instance. He's my shepherd. He's my guide. He's my guide. He's my protection. And he's my provider. Because remember, the shepherd leads the sheep where they can eat, you know, where they can eat the graze the pasture where they can eat and graze it and, you know, eat and get the nutrition. Okay, so he said, "I shall not want," because he's my shepherd. I trust in him. I'm relying on him. He's my everything. Okay, he making me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, once again, that God is leading you. He leads me beside the still waters. Along with providing, he guides me. What's that? Then he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. When I'm hurt, broken, need to be healed, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me there. He provides the healing that I need. He makes me well. He makes me all together again. He makes sure that I'm in a good place. Amen. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because I'm not going in my own name, but I am representing him in his name. I'm going forth in his name. Because I've given my life to the Lord. I now am representing him. So because I'm representing him, there's a relationship there that he's now abiding in me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, even though I'm walking through some dark times, some challenging moments, sometimes I don't know which way is up and which is down, but I'm going through a dark place right now. He said, I will fear no evil. He said, I will not fear any evil. This is where intimacy is most powerful, because you knowing the Lord is going to provide protection, guidance, and provision for you. Whatever you need that you're going through, he's the one that's going to provide for you. He's the one that's going to guide you, order your steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And the protection. He is my protection. He is my shelter. He's my everything. So he said, well, fear no evil, for you are with me. See, because he's with me, because I know he's with me, I have no reason to fear. Because he's with me, there's no need to fear. Because he's with me, I don't want to fear. There's no need for me to walk in fear, because he's with me. See, intimacy produces peace. Intimacy produces security. I have that security through intimacy with him that he's with me. I don't have to worry about what I see. I don't have to worry about what people say, but I know he's with me. I can trust that. I can trust him. He goes on to say, for thou art with me, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you something. There's some things that a man and a woman can do. There's things that a man and a woman can do that no one else can do on this earth. But there's some things that not even man or woman can do that only God can do. There's some things that, you know, you see, it's just like it's a God thing to where there's no man or woman can do that but God. So he goes on to say, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. So no matter what I'm faced with, no matter who I'm going to face off with, no matter the opposition, he says, you preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who's thou? Talking about God. God, the Lord, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know why the Lord can prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies? Because he don't care with us. He, there's no need for me to worry because he's with me. I'm not the one prepared to table in front of my enemies. They're both erratic, but the Lord is. See, the Lord sets you up to put you on display. The Lord wants you to be seen. See, he wants people to see how he blessed you. He wants you to, people, okay, this is a description of the fruit that you produce from intimacy. What he wants to show and display to these to your enemies is that he has a relationship with me, and watch the fruit that comes forth out of this relationship or this intimacy. Here is where you see the fruit spread forth from the intimacy, because you see it in the protection and even the blessing in front of my enemies. He lets them see, oh no, I got this. He's covered. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. See, so his cup, when he anointed me, I'm on my head, now my cup, my joy, the oil, the anointing runs over. Amen. Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy through relationship, through intimacy with the Lord. My goodness, and his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For all the days of my life, I'm going to have this fruit. This fruit is going to be produced or follow me because of my intimacy with the Lord. His goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to have that fruit. Amen. So, amen. Psalm 91. Well, I wanted to go there because that's going to be, that's going to take us to another place. Now, very quickly, I want to see, as we, Psalm 91, we'll come back to that one. But I want to touch this, these other scriptures here real quick. And so let's go, okay, we already looked at Genesis chapter 4 and 1, talk about him knowing Eve. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34. Okay, let's start at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit and wisdom, and before Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Okay. In other words, he said that relationship was so unique, how he had with Moses, other than it, with the way he had with Moses as a prophet, that he didn't have with any other prophet. The relationship that God, the Lord God, had with Moses was unlike any relationship or with any prophet in God. So much so, he says, there will never be another prophet even likened to Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There was a level of intimacy that God walked with Moses, or Moses walked with God. There will never be another like that. Never be another like that. The level of intimacy that the Lord walked with Moses It cannot be duplicated. It wasn't going to, it wasn't going to happen. No one else will come to that place of that. He dealt with Moses face to face. Face to face experience with God. Now, we all have our own different walk with God. And we have our own experience with God. But to be like how Moses and God was, that was a special relationship there that cannot be duplicated. God, I say, I'm going to let you know right now, there'll never be another like Moses. I won't even let myself even be open to even get that close like I did with Moses. Amen. All right, so in all, verse 11, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in almighty, and in all that mighty hand in that all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. So what God did through Moses was awesome and is powerful, mind-blowing, and he said there would never be another like him. So this relationship, so your relationship with God is very unique to where there will not be anyone else who have one just like yours. See, with this intimacy, it gives us a right, a reason, gives the opportunity to get close as we can with the Lord. No, it may not be to the measure or just like Moses. But then again, who knows? You might have surpassed it. Who knows? But the thing is, until we open up and allow him to really be close to us and we invite him in to get closer to us, we want to experience the things that he's experienced. So we have to position ourselves for that manifestation. Amen. Okay, and another verse to show that. Let's go to Judges 2:10. Judges 2:10. The number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. If anyone have any questions or comments at this time, we're almost finished. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Also, all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which had been done for Israel. See, now we saw what happens in that place where the intimacy is continued on, is long lasting, is continuous. Now, here is what happens when we fall off our intimacy. Now, we don't know him in that place anymore, or now the next generation don't know him, because when we don't know him, if they don't see us knowing him or see the fruit of us knowing him, they will not understand the in-depthness of the relationship. They will not understand the opportunity they have to get close to the Lord in such a way. Okay. Then the last one, here is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. And we will stop there. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belal. They knew not the Lord. Amen. So Eli, the prophet, knew the Lord, was in a relationship with him, but because he started disobeying or not dealing with his sons, and he didn't show them the way, or he let them do what they wanted to do. Now it's saying here that they knew not the Lord. They were sons of Belal, that they knew not the Lord. So now, and you saw, and the things that Eli's sons did in the temple, they disrespected God, they disrespected the temple, and they disrespected their father, and we didn't even listen. They didn't honor or respect him. Why? Because they were rebellious. the sons of Eli were, they were a mess. And they acted like they did not know God. Well, they didn't. They didn't have a relationship. They didn't have intimacy with the Lord. Because if they had intimacy and relationship with the Lord, they would not have destroyed or did the stuff of things that they did in the temple. And they had orgies and all kind of crazy stuff inside the church. They would not see when we let our sons and daughters run rampant, it looks like they had no home training. Some people are just going to be what they're going to be regardless if you do right or not. Amen. So here, I just wanted to say, you know, because of his disobedience, his sons did a lot of mess. And it cost him, you know, some ground. It cost him favor, you know, with the Lord to be favored by him and some other things not to happen because of that disobedience or that rebellious spirit between them with those God, with those sons. But Eli, who had the authority, who knew God, who was dull of hearing, dull in sight, his relationship was not where it needed to be, to where things didn't happen. So, once again, I'm going to stop there, but the purpose of intimacy, bring you closer to the Lord to give you a deeper experience knowing him. See, not knowing the Lord, they acted and they started doing all kind of manner of stuff with no consciousness about it. They didn't care. Just cared about what they want, when they want it, and how they want to get it. That's not the way God operates. So anyway, so once again, the number is 347-945-5416. Amen. And press 1 to speak if anyone has a prayer request or anything. Right now I'm going to pray. If there's anyone who wants to get a desire to speak or say anything, amen, feel free to call in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you said and you did, how you poured your spirit tonight. We thank you for manifestation. Thank you for change in Jesus' name. Show yourself strong. Lord, and we thank you right now for your peace that surpasses our understanding. Thank you for ruling our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And we thank you for healing and restoring each and every one right now that's on this line. Heal them in their brokenness in their hearts. Heal, Lord God. We drive out the pain. We drive out everything with the anointing of God that is just not productive, that is not bringing forth in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you right now for the outpouring of your spirit tonight. And thank you for the word. Thank you for even helping us spiritually to recover and even advance in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord God, for your favor, Lord God, that it shall never run out, Lord God. We are favored truly by you, Lord. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so praise God. Amen. Thank you for each and every one that's being on tonight. Amen. And once again, we're going to open the floor for salvation. If anyone needs to be saved, you should just open your heart and open up your mind and allow the Spirit to minister to you. Amen. Repeat after me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to be strengthened. Lord, I surrender all to you. Strengthen me in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that I shall prosper and be in health even as I so prosper. I open my heart now. I believe Jesus Christ died and rose for me. I accept and I believe that on the third day he rose with all power in his hand. So, Father, thank you. I receive him now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then there's one more for those who need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Lord, forgive me for going astray. I want your will, Lord. I want to live for you. I surrender all. I open my heart and allow you to realign me with the will of God for my life. So, Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for your peace that surpasses understanding. I believe and receive. I line up. Lord God, thank you for bringing back into alignment. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, give you honor, glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, amen. We thank the Lord for each and every one. Once again, thank you for your time, your patience, your love that you've given to us, and for us helping us to be here. And we truly don't take it lightly. And we thank God for each and every one of you. That may God may continue to bless you. If anyone desires to sow a seed tonight, amen, you can PayPal us, amen, and the address is eagleswingsim@yahoo.com, eagleswingsim Jesus@yahoo.com. So, amen. So, thank you for each and every one for being on tonight. May God continue to bless you. Have a wonderful week on this week. Amen. Bye-bye.